Beloved in Christ, I bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the Gospel reading from John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 2014, while I was on long service leave, my family and I spent a month in Africa, visiting missionary friends, traveling together, and teaching. One of the more interesting parts of that time was the drive we had from Nairobi in central Kenya down to Mombasa on the coast. It's only about 490 kilometres, but that drive took us about 12 hours. In addition to dodging giraffes on the highway, we also had to regularly take evasive action to avoid overloaded buses as they rounded blind corners on the wrong side of the road, trucks that would slow to 10 kilometres an hour going up a hill, only to come barreling down the other side at breakneck speed. We saw cars rolled over on the side of the road with people literally dying in them with no hope of getting help. And then when we finally got to Mombasa, a road closure sent us into a slum which the Australian government has on the no-travel list because the terrorist group Al-Shabaab target Westerners in that place. Our daughters were in their mid-teens at the time, and so they were quite aware of what was going on. And reflecting on the road trip one night, they said that it helped them to realize how fragile life is. It helped them to realize that when you wake up in the morning, you can never be certain that you'll still be alive that night. And it made them appreciate God's promise of life through faith in Jesus even more than ever. By God's grace, that experience did not leave them fearful of death, but instead made them grasp hold of the promises that Jesus makes explicit in our text today. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Of course, we don't have to travel to dangerous parts of the world to realize the fragility of life. But in the comfort and safety of a country like Australia, we have been somewhat inoculated to the ever-present threat of death. And if you ever doubted that, then our behavior as a society over the past 18 months must surely have confirmed it for you, as we have gone to extraordinary lengths to avoid the possibility of death by COVID. It seems to me that in these days we are increasingly being governed by fear of death. On the one hand, we have a death rate due to COVID that is the second lowest in the world. Our status as an island and our wealth have helped us lock down and by comparison with the rest of the world, lock out this virus. This is to the relief of many folks who feel their vulnerability and fragility in the face of this disease. However, in our willingness to do this, to do almost anything to avoid high death rates, we've also witnessed around the country small businesses being decimated, children being deprived of social interaction. We have seen people's livelihoods taken from them and mental illness rates skyrocket. In other words, there have been a host of other costs that we've paid to avoid the possibility of death by this virus. Don't get me wrong, we do well to take a cautious approach to unknown health issues. And with a brother who lives in India and whose life has been devastated by COVID, I know firsthand the realities of this in a deeply personal way. But I also know of folks almost driven to despair by lockdowns. I'm not advocating for any particular approach. We need to pray for our governing and health administrators. But to be consumed with trying to avoid death and to avoid the fear of death at all costs strikes me as a rather foolhardy and doomed approach. Of course, I expect that from the unbelieving world. But I wonder if we in the church might also have bought into this fear as well. With devastating images flooding our TVs in the early days of the pandemic, and the incessant media conferences and messages tailored to inspire fear and compliance, it's only natural that as we honour those placed in authority over us, we too might have become fearful of the virus and the death it might cause. And so I wonder what this has meant for you and where you place your trust for this life and the next. Have your well-intentioned actions and caution led you to make an idol of this life, seeking to avoid death at any cost? Have you found yourself fearing infection and death more than you fear the author of life and death himself? Have you found yourself trusting in masks, hand sanitizer, and government decrees to sustain you, rather than the promise of Jesus that he is the bread of life and that whoever eats this bread will live forever? Or perhaps you've become consumed in the counter-narrative and become suspicious, fearful, and despairing of everything around us, instead of facing tomorrow with confidence in God's promise to work all things for good for those who love him. Again, I'm not advocating any particular position, but I am asking, as God asks in his word time and again, where are we placing our trust and what is it that we ultimately fear? Respect for this life and concern for the health of your neighbour is a godly thing. But the unintended consequence of fear and misplaced trust is spiritually dangerous and leads to despair. So if you have found yourself unduly fearful of death in these days, if you have found yourself trusting in all sorts of things other than God, if you have made an idol out of surviving this pandemic, then today, know this: the Lord himself offers you release and freedom and joy. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, they will live forever." The flesh and blood of Jesus, the one who became human for us, has been sacrificed for you. His flesh hung on a cross to die. His blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins atones for all your misplaced trust. It frees you from fear and anxiety and gives you the sure and certain hope of something that is much better than a COVID-free life in this world. It guarantees you life with him forever, and the joy and peace that that brings here and now. So in the name of the one who became flesh and blood for you, Jesus Christ our Lord, you are forgiven and free from all these things and much more. And by faith in these promises, God now dwells in you so that you may face the uncertainty of this life with confidence in his mercy and presence and blessing. You know, we're not that much different to the Jews who gathered around Jesus in our text. They are the same people who have pursued him since he fed the 5,000 at the beginning of John 6. And he's pointed out that they seek him not because they believe he is the Messiah who offers eternal life, but because they think he can sustain them in this life and provide for their earthly future. As is so often the case, Jesus' words reveal the short-sightedness of this hope and encourages them and us to have faith that God wants so much more for us than we even dare to dream. Jesus' call to eat his flesh and drink his blood needs to be understood in two complementary ways which we do well to hold together. Of course, us Lutherans can hardly hear these words and not immediately think of the Lord's Supper, where the true body and blood of Jesus is given for us to eat and drink, that we might have forgiveness and life and salvation. And with this remarkable promise in verse 56 that Jesus abides in all who eat his flesh and drink his blood, what a joy it is to receive the sacrament with these promises ringing in our ears. But it must be said that in the context of John chapter 6, it is also clear that this eating and drinking refers to faith in the flesh and blood man, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us. In fact, Luther proclaimed with many of the church fathers and indeed our own confessions that wherever the message is proclaimed that Christ gave his body into death and shed his blood for our sins, and wherever this is taken to heart and believed, there Christ's body is eaten and his blood is drunk. This is the true meaning of eating and drinking. To eat, he says, is synonymous here with to believe. And he goes on to say, this text clearly proves that you have eternal life in the very hour you begin to believe. It is yours already, and you need not earn it, nor is there any other means of escape from death, sin, and the devil. Just as the flesh and blood sacrifices of the Old Testament atoned for the sins of the people and covered their shame so that God himself could dwell in their midst to bless them, the once and for all flesh and blood sacrifice of Jesus brings us forgiveness and life that will last forever, as God dwells now not in a far-off temple, but in all who feast on this sacrifice by faith. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. This really is a remarkable promise. Jesus declares that as you believe in him, you will abide in him and he in you. He takes up residence in you and makes his home there. He says, it doesn't matter if you lack anything, because I have an abundance of righteousness, holiness, and wisdom for you. If you are weak, your weakness is in me. I drown your weakness in my strength and power. I delete your sin in my righteousness, and I devour your death in my life. This is the hope these words of Jesus offers. It is not a vain hope that is disconnected from the troubles of this life. It is spoken directly to our situation today and our longing for life to return to some kind of normal. It encourages us not to be short-sighted when it comes to the promises of God, but to expect so much more than we frequently settle for. Eating and drinking the flesh and blood of Jesus, whether it is wrapped up in the bread and wine of the supper or wrapped up in his words of promise, this flesh and blood provides you with forgiveness and true life, both here and in eternity. You know, Martin Luther had a way of getting to the crux of a text like this in a very earthy and sometimes provocative way. And at the risk of offending your modern sensitivities, I'd like to share a few words that he preached on this text to those who were faced with the uncertainty of life and death in his own time. He said, "Just go ahead and die in God's name. Submit to being burned or killed in some other way. You are still assured of eternal life, it will surely be yours. To die, to be buried, to have people tread on your grave, to be consumed by worms, none of this will matter to you. It is certain that Christ will raise you up again, for here you have his promise. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And at that time, your eyes will behold what your faith so confidently relies on now. Dear friends, I pray that God would grant each and every one of you this confidence of faith in the flesh and blood of Jesus, that you can face the uncertainty of these days without fear, and instead with unshakable confidence in the forgiveness and the life that is yours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.